A reading from Matthew 5. You have heard that it was said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
For Ken Parker, this harmony didn't always exist. This time last year, he was immersed in hate. Ken joined the KKK in 2012.
You would actually wear this when you all were burning crosses.
Yes, ma'am.
But still, he wanted more.
Klan wasn't hateful enough for me, so I decided to become a Nazi.
Which is why, when hundreds of white nationalists descended on Charlottesville 1 year ago, Ken was there.
All the things you could have picked to say, I want to be a part of this group, and I want this to be a part of my identity. Why whiteness?
I had gotten out of the Navy. It was really hard to get a job, and it's really easy to blame it on somebody else. You know, we have people with darker skin in our country, you know, taking my job.
But just 7 months after that rally, he bumped into a man who made an offer that would change his life.
He invited me and my fiance to go to church, and I was like, well, it's worth a shot.
That man was a black pastor. When
I say yes. I just asked Ken to share his testimony.
I need y'all here.
So you've got a 70-person congregation now. They're all black, and just three white people, including you.
Yes, ma'am.
They welcomed him in love.
I thought, you know, they would judge me, but no, everybody was, like, really friendly.
When we make it to heaven, heaven's just not going to be one race.
What would you say to the people who you may have offended or hurt?
I want to say I'm sorry. I know I've spread hate and discontent. Probably made little kids scared to sleep in their own beds.
Hello, I'll whip you always.
Now, Ken is still navigating uncharted waters into a wave.
Better than I did the last time I had a robe on.
Of love.
Right.
Morgan Radford, NBC News, Jacksonville, Florida. For Ken.
That came across my email the first of this past week, and it spoke to me in ways that nothing else had about our job here. Because, you see, Ken Parker was the enemy, wasn't he? I don't know. We don't know the backstory of how this pastor came across Ken and happened to invite him. But however that was surely God's grace at work. For the people who heard Jesus at the Sermon on the Mount, the passage that Gina read, their Bible, their holy writ, said nothing about loving enemies. What was their holy writ? We would call it the Old Testament now, wouldn't we? But it was the Torah. It was the law. Yes. Old Testament talks destruction of enemies. Especially destruction of the enemies of God. Remember, a flood came. God caused a flood to destroy everything except one family and animals of all kinds. And if you read further, that one family, Noah was not an admirable fellow, was he? Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot's wife looked back. Moses destroyed utterly the armies of Pharaoh. Joshua brought the walls of Jericho down on all the children Remember the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. These were prophets who worshiped a different God. Not only did Elijah outpreach them that day, he burned them all up. King Saul was a vicious king. King David, who is called a man after God's own heart, committed murder of his enemies. And the list goes on and on and on and on. And so when Jesus told that story on the mountainside about loving enemies, this was completely strange to them. Jesus turns all of their law completely upside down. We must remember that Jesus brought a whole new way of understanding God. And he wasn't just talking about kings and armies, was he? No. He was talking that day to the common folk, you and me, on the hillside. You see the sermon title today? Destroy your enemies. There was a sermon illustration recently that I used from Abraham Lincoln. Remember? A couple of weeks ago. The only reason I'm referencing this is that I thought, Shirley reminded me, said, well, if you use that and you just use that as an illustration a couple of weeks ago, they're going to think you're losing it, Wayne. And you forgot that you told the story a couple of weeks ago. So, make that noted if there is a record of this today. I may be losing it, but this is not an example of that. Question. How was Ken Parker, the racist, KKK-robe-wearing, Nazi-saluting enemy, destroyed? How was he destroyed? And he was. That same man simply ceased to exist. How was he destroyed? Yeah. I'm surprised that he had the intestinal fortitude to show up at that church, aren't you? It was the love of God shown through a congregation of 70 who broke down the barriers and destroyed his hate. Simple as that. The world is getting more and more divided. You know it and I know it. Politically, socially, racially, economically, We are growing farther and farther apart, not closer together as human beings. How can we right here be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem of separation and alienation and divisiveness in our world? Well, that was sort of a rhetorical question because I have the answer right here. First of all, and this seems kind of self-evident, but first we must accept personally that we are beloved children of a loving God. Not just intellectually, but in our hearts know that the creator of the universe loves us. Because you can't share what you don't possess. Secondly, we must become willing to step outside of our own comfort zones. I want to find out the backstory of that pastor who approached this Nazi and invited him to church. That was certainly out of anyone's comfort zone. But at that point, the barriers were beginning to be broken down. And as that congregation loved on that young man and his fiance, the barriers were destroyed. Ken Parker, the KKK Nazi, ceased to exist at that moment. So there are times when I know that individually we become uncomfortable around someone with whom we just are. Like talking to Austin and Caleb, we just don't like. We just don't like them. That's the time that we must step out. It may be as simple a thing as inviting them to coffee or complimenting them on their clothes or anything that you can put a positive word in front of this person for whom you have had nothing but negatives. And then what we must do, and we don't, and it's becoming more evident, we need to concentrate on our similarities and not our differences. If you think of someone you know right now who is on the exact extreme opposite of your social scale or your economic scale or racially that you are divided from. Think about that person right now. There's one person for everyone who's like that. Have you got that person in your mind? I do. I don't like him either. But you know, he wants his family to be taken care of. He loves those whom he loves just like I do. He has the same basic needs that I have. He wants to enjoy a life that has fulfillment in it rather than misery in it. Just like I do. If I can see in him my own motivations and my own desires and my own ways of looking at the world, there's a chance that I might be able to break down that barrier that's between us. I'm working on it. Concentrate on our similarities rather than our differences. And then, this is a really hard one. Leave our judgmentalism at the door. We each have those criteria by which we judge our fellow human beings, don't we? Yeah, think about yours. Can you possibly, when you are in front of someone, put those judgments aside until you have the opportunity to learn a little about them? Because if your judgments are there bolstering you up, then everything they say will be bounced off against your judgmentalism, and the barrier will never be broken. Leave your judgmentalism at the door. And I want to say this, in all the loving kindness that I can muster, churches can be the most judgmental institutions on the planet when they put their minds to it. And of course we can say, well, thank God we're not that. There is no judgmentalism here. Wayne's talking about all those other churches. Oh, you mean those churches that we're being judgmental about? Yeah, I guess so. There is enough bad in the best of us, and there is enough good in the worst of us, that it ill behooves the best of us to talk about the rest of us. I'll have to mark it down that I used that today so it won't come back in a couple of weeks. And then pray for your enemy's well-being and mean it. That person that you had in mind. Pray for them like the children prayed. Bless that person in your prayer. It is hard to bless someone and hold grudges against them at the same time. And then finally, we just got to clean up our own side of the street and leave the rest to God. It's that simple. I wonder what Ken Parker's life will be like 5, 10, 15 years from now. The only thing that we know for certain is that his chances of living an abundant life were greatly increased by a pastor and his congregation loving their enemy. Amen.